إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our sixth session, reading from Sifat Ibad al-Rahman, the characteristics and qualities of the worshippers of the Most Merciful, by Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight our topic is the fifth characteristic, al-Sifa al-Khamisa, from the Sifat of Ibad al-Rahman. And before we go into our topic for this evening, Walaikum Salaam, we're going to just quickly review some of the points that we covered last week from the question and study guide for lecture number 5. The first question being, how does the author, Hafidhullah, summarize As-Sifa Ar-Rabi'ah, the fourth characteristic of Ibad al-Rahman? Summary, what is the fourth characteristic now? في النفقة
بين الإسراف والتقتير.
تقتير نعم. توسطهم يعني they're being moderate concerning النفقة, concerning spending their wealth. يعني بين الإسراف والتقتير. يعني بين إسراف يعني being excessive, extravagant, wasteful, and تقتير يعني being miserly or stingy. يعني this is the summary of how the Shaykh summarized this particular characteristic. توسطهم يعني they're being moderate in their spending between يعني extravagant wastefulness and miserly stinginess. Now, the second question, memorize the ayah, 25th surah, 67th ayah, containing as-sifat al-rabi'ah, the fourth characteristic of Ibad al-Rahman. يعني the ayah containing this particular characteristic. Now, follow.
والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما.
نعم. يعني from this particular ayah, the Shaykh derived this characteristic of their moderateness in spending, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, والذين إذا أنفقوا, those who when they spend, لَمْ يُصْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, they didn't يعني go to one extreme or the other of wastefulness or يعني miserliness. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا, but rather they were in between those two extremes, يعني taking the balanced or just يعني position in spending, يعني moderateness. نعم. The third question, mentioned the author's summary of the first three sifat, characteristics of quality Ibad al-Rahman. يعني the first one, anybody remember the first one? Yeah, any summary of it? نعم. السكينة والوقار.
That he mentioned that about the people, how the way that they carry themselves.
The way they carry themselves.
That they have tranquility with
them.
And they have
humbleness.
تواضع.
يعني they're walking through the earth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humbly, peacefully, tranquil. And also in the way that they deal with the ibad of Allah, in the way that they deal with the people. The second characteristic was related to prayer. Anybody remember the second characteristic? Yani that they spend their nights in prayer. Yani muhafazatuhum ala salat, that they protect and preserve and guard their prayers. La siyama qiyamul layl, especially the night prayer. Yani that they spend their night in prostration, standing and prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third characteristic is related to the punishment of the fire, their supplication. Naam.
Khawfuhum
خوفهم خوفهم وإشفاقهم من عذاب النار يعني they fear from the punishment of the hellfire. يعني these three characteristics are the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with, and then he came to يعني the fourth one that we discussed last week, which is in reference to their spending. يعني their humility and humbleness in front of Allah and in front of the people. They're guarding the prayers, especially the night prayer, and they're having fear. يعني a real fear of the punishment of the hellfire. And the fourth character we discussed last week, يعني in their spending, being moderate and spending. Question number four, mention four or five matters about which every person will be questioned on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Nadir. They'll be asked about their wealth, now.
Their health.
The time. Okay, two questions in reference to their lifespan. Yeah, they will be asked about their life, the time they were given in this world, how did they use it, and they will be asked about their youth, or in the narration the Shaykh mentioned, about their body, their physical body, their strength, yani when they were young. How did they use that time? And they will be asked about their wealth, yani from where did they earn it, and how did they spend it, and what else? And the ilm, what did they do with their knowledge? What did they do with their knowledge? Now, memorize, question number five, memorize the statement of Allah concerning those who are wasteful, extravagant in spending their wealth. Yani from the 17th surah, 26th and 27th ayat. Anybody remember this statement? Now. Yani, wa'ati dhal qurba, wa'ati, give.
Yeah, wa'ati dhal qurba haqqahu wal miskin wa bin sabiri la tubadhir.
إن المبذرين
كانوا إخوان الشياطين إن الشيطان كانوا لربه
وكان الشيطان
لربه
كفورا. نعم. يعني this statement wasn't actually from the book, but it was in reference to يعني how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described wastefulness. Give to those who have yani near relatives their right, yani spend on them, and also the poor who may not be relatives, and the person who is yani ibn al-sabil, yani who is cut off from his home, yani traveling in the land without means. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا, yani don't spend in the way of a spendthrift, don't be wasteful with your wealth, yani be careful how you spend, for indeed those who are wasteful, they are the brothers of the shayateen, and the shaytan was indeed, or is indeed, ungrateful to his Rabb. Question number six, explain briefly the qa'idah, the principle mentioned by the author concerning being moderate in all affairs. What is the qa'idah that the Shaykh mentioned? Just brief, yani two lines, he said that what is wajib upon the Muslim is that they be, yani an yakuna wasatan fi umurihi, yani that a person take the moderate path in all affairs, بين الإفراط والتفريط, yani between excessiveness and negligence, yani going to the extreme on one side or neglecting other extreme, no matter whether it's in reference to spending on other than that, yani taking the moderate course in all affairs, not being excessive nor being neglectful, من أبواب الدين والدنيا, yani whether it is in the affairs related to the deen, or in the affairs related to the dunya. The Muslim, it is obligatory upon the Muslim to be moderate in all affairs, not just in spending, as we're talking about here in this sifa, but in all affairs, worldly affairs, as well as religious affairs. Question number seven, give two examples of how the deen of Islam, and specifically, Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, are moderate in yani religious affairs. Yani that we mentioned, yani from the explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, a number of points, any of those points are sufficient, whether we talk about how the deen is in the middle course between other religions, the deen of Islam, or how the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah specifically are yani taking the middle course between the various yani sects who identify with Islam, one of them.
The Yahud, they went to one extreme denying Isa alayhi
salam. Okay.
And the Christians went to the other extreme saying that he is an ilah.
Naam.
Some type of, and the Muslim, we do not honor him as an, we honor him as a prophet, but we don't give him, he's just a man, he's not an
ilah. Naam. Yani how Islam is in the middle of the Christians and Jews in reference to Allah. Yani how the Jews denied, I'm sorry, not in reference to Allah, but in reference to the prophets, how the Jews denied Isa and disbelieved in him, that one extreme, rejecting him as a prophet, and the Christians went to the other extreme, raising him up to being like a god besides Allah. Any other one? Moderateness. Now, go ahead, fadl. Okay, in reference to yani their yani taking unlawful things, yani going to the extreme and making everything permissible, naam, as opposed to the Jews who were prohibited many things that were intrinsically yani naturally originally permissible, naam. So as far as Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we mentioned 5 points. The Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in the Aqeedah Wasatiyah. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah went into some detailed explanation of them, but in brief, those 5 issues that he mentioned are important, critical issues in terms of our aqidah, how the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah take the middle course. And he mentioned 5 fundamental issues, 5 usul. And he, just to summarize some of them quickly, if anybody mentioned one of them just briefly, or 2 or 3, and then we'll go on now for the sake of time.
He mentioned, Ibn Taymiyyah also mentioned about Qislas, that the Yahud, the Jews, they, in retaliation, they say that it's obligatory.
Uh-huh.
The Christians say that you should forgive. Mm-hmm. Muslim is between the two. You have the option to take revenge or to...
Okay, again, in reference to Islam being in the middle of the other adyan, that the Yahud say that it's obligatory to take retribution if somebody has wronged you, and the Christians say it's obligatory to pardon, while the Muslims, yani, take the middle course. Yani, it's permissible to, yani, justly take retribution according to the Sharia, or you can pardon a person outright, and even there's... yani, dear, blood money that a person can take if somebody has harmed a person or killed a person, instead of them being executed, which is their just punishment. And we also have the option of taking the blood money as well as just outright pardoning. Okay, yani, for the sake of time, then perhaps yani, we will go past the other issues, because the Sheikh mentioned a lot of them. I'll just highlight them. In terms of Asma wa Sifat, some people denied Allah's names and Sifat, and other people denied some of them and not all of them. And the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, yani, took the middle course of affirming everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His names and Sifat that came in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. Second issue he mentioned was yani the Af'al of Allah in reference to Qadr al-Qadha. Yani the Jabariyya said that the people are forced to do what they do, they have no free will. The Qadariyya said people have complete free will, and the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is in the middle, that people have limited free will, but everything is subject to the will of Allah. The third issue he mentioned in reference to the wa'id of Allah, the murji'ah, yani, took the position that people would not be punished for the major sins because actions are not part of iman. And the Qadariyya, yani, took the other position, the wa'idiyya, I mean, from the Qadariyya and others, they took the position that if a person commits a major sin and they didn't repent from it, they must be punished in the hellfire eternally. And the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah say that if a person died committing major sins that they didn't repent from, then Allah may forgive them, or He may punish them, but they will not remain in the hellfire eternally. As far as Asma al-Iman wa Deen, the Hururiyya, the Mu'tazila, and the Mu'tazila took the position that a person who commits major sins goes out of Islam and he's a kafir. The Mu'tazila say he's in between a kafir and a Muslim, a mu'min and a kafir in between, but they said he will be in the hellfire forever. The Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah don't take away from the name of Iman because of committing major sins. Rather, we say that he is a mu'min, naqis al-Iman. Yani that his Iman is incomplete because of the sins that he committed. Or we say that he is yani mu'min bi-imanihi wa fasiq bi-fisqihi. Yani that he is a believer due to his Iman, and he is a fasiq, yani a sinful person due to his sin. And the last issue was in reference to the Sahaba. The Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah is between the Rafida and the Khawarij. The Rafida who yani raised up Ali radiallahu anhu, some of them went to the extreme of even declaring to be an ilah along with Allah, and yani the Khawarij disbelieved in him, declared his yani made takfir on him and fought يعني and spill the blood of the Muslims and the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah take the middle course, giving the Ahl Bayt Ali radiallahu anhu and his descendants, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, them and others than them from Ahl Bayt, giving them their proper respect due to their qaraba, yani the relation to the Prophet, and due to their Islam, and at the same time give the proper due rights to the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last question we didn't cover last week, I neglected to read the last part after we went through those usul. But in any case, the question is there in the book. The answer is there in the book. It's at the end of this chapter that yani related to the fourth characteristic, explained the statement of Mutarrif ibn Abdullah rahimahullah concerning the good which is between two evils. The good that is between two evils. Mutarrif, he said, خَيْرُ هَذِي الْأُمُورِ أَوْصَاتُهَا. And the best of these affairs, the best of our affairs, are that which is moderate, in the middle. وَالْحَسَنَةُ بَيْنَ سَيِّئَتَيْنِ. And the hasana is between two evils. So he was asked, يعني, or the narrator of the hadith said, he asked Qatada, مَا الْحَسَنَةُ بَيْنَ السَيِّئَتَيْنِ. What is the hasana, the goodness, that is between two evils? And he said, it is this ayat, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. يعني the hasana that's between the سَيِّئَتَيْنِ, it is يعني the moderate course in terms of spending, not going to either extreme. يعني the سيئتين, the two evils are the extreme of wastefulness and the extreme of miserliness or stinginess. Those are the two extremes. And the حسنة is taking the middle course, not being extravagant nor being wasteful. And the meaning of this statement, خير هذه الأمور أوساطها, is the wasatiyya, yani taking the middle course, being moderate in all affairs, not just in spending. And the hasana baina as-sayyi'atayn is also general, yani that goodness is in taking the middle course between the evils, the two evils which are the two extremes, going to one extreme or another. And these are the points that we discussed last week. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to go to the fifth characteristic, يعني الصفة الخامسة. In the English translation of the book, this particular characteristic is on page what? 20, Jayid. And we're almost on the same page in the Arabic text, page 19. So the Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, he says here, As-sifa al-khamisa, as-sifatu al-khamisa, to the fifth characteristic or quality, meaning the fifth characteristic of the Ibad al-Rahman, the worshippers of al-Rahman, of Allah al-Rahman, the most merciful. He said, he summarizes this characteristic, and actually Sheikh Salih Suhaimi, in his explanation of these same ayat, and he mentioned this particular, what is comes here under this one characteristic, he mentions them as about three or four or five characteristics. Yani because he took each point that's related under this general yani ayah here, and he made them as separate points. So we might look at that also maybe at another time. But in any case, it's good to go back and see how other scholars have explained this. The Sheikh said he mentioned this ayat, yani from the Surah Al-Furqan 25th, Surah 68th ayat. He summarized it as بُعْدُهُمْ عَنْ كَبَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ وَعَظَائِمِ الْآثَامِ. يعني بُعْدُهُمْ, they are being distanced. يعني بعيد, being distanced from كبائر الذنوب, from the major sins. وَعَظَائِمِ الْآثَامِ. And يعني those also يعني major, you could say terrible, horrible, يعني atrocious crimes, yani perhaps you can say, because atham is the plural of itham, and itham is the dhanb alladhi yastahiqqu fa'iluhu al-uquba alayhi. Yani it is a type of sin that a person is deserving of, yani is subject to be punished, yani with an uquba, a punishment, deserve to be punished for it. And no doubt every act of disobedience, every dhanb, a person is deserving of punishment, but perhaps yani the Shaykh is using these two words here together to yani with a slight distinction between them, the general sin and the major sins, which are also yani outright crimes, which are crimes, because we see yani that if we look at what is mentioned here, some of these things are not only yani what is considered as sins, but rather some of them are crimes in the society in general. Yani are considered to be crimes outright. So in any case, he has summarized it in this way: بُعْدُهُمْ عَنْ كَبَارِ الْذُنُوبِ وَعَظَائِمْ الْآثَامِ. Being distanced from their characteristics is being distanced from major sins. Yani not falling into major sins, not being of those who engaged in the major sins, in the horrible yani crimes. So after this, yani the Shaykh mentions the ayat here under discussion. Yani, and actually there are a series of ayahs here, 68, 69, and 70, that come under this particular title that are all related to it. But the first part of the ayah, 68, is what he mentions here, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدَعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. That's one point. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And that's the second point. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. Sheikh Salih Suhaimi has made these three characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman. The first of them, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدَعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. They are those who do not call upon, do not supplicate and call upon yani an ilah, something other than Allah, with Allah, along with Allah. They don't call on something else that is worshipped besides Allah or along with Allah. And here, the word that's used in the ayah, لَا يَدَعُونَ, yani the apparent or the obvious meaning of it is dua, supplicating, calling upon. But we know that in the Quran, often a dua is representing ibadah. And the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, a dua huwa al-ibadah. So, yani the meaning here is not limited to supplicating on something other than Allah, but rather the intended meaning here, Wallahu A'lam, is worshipping anything other than Allah. And that's understood from how the Shaykh proceeds when he goes on to discuss this particular yani ayah. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. Those who do not call upon, who do not worship something as an ilah, as a god, along with Allah. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And they do not kill a person, a nafs, الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ, which Allah has made it forbidden, has made it haram to kill. Yani they do not kill any person that Allah has made it haram to kill. إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Except with a right. Except that they have a right to do so. And that means a right in the Sharia. Like a person who kills someone who kills somebody else. Yani in accordance with the law. Yani under the supervision of the government. Yani not a person kills somebody and then somebody takes the law into their own hands. But the government. Yani if a person kills someone, the family of that slain person can require from the government to kill the one who killed yani their family member. So, yani they don't kill those who Allah has forbidden to be killed, unless they have a right, yani according to a right by the Sharia. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And they do not commit zina, yani illegal sexual relations, having illegal sexual relations, yani whether that be fornication or adultery. Here, the Shaykh says, after mentioning this ayat, فَمِنْ أَبْرَزِ صِفَاتِ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الْمُتَّقِينَ اجْتِنَابُهُمْ كَبَائِرَ الذُّنُوبُ وَالْآثَامِ. That from the most prominent, distinctive, outstanding characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman, from the most outstanding characteristics. He already mentioned the humility in front of Allah and the worshippers and the servants of Allah. He already mentioned what they are praying in the night and they are guarding the prayers. He already mentioned yani several characteristics. Here he says, من أبرز صفات عباد الرحمن. Yani from the most prominent, distinctive yani characters of عباد الرحمن, المتقين, those who have taqwa, those who have yani fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that they avoid, yani they avoid اجتنابهم, yani they stay far away from the major sins and crimes. Yani why is this from أبرز صفات عباد الرحمن? Because the people who have taqwa, the worshippers of Allah who have taqwa, are known that they don't engage in these kind of things, major sins and crimes. This is from the most distinct and prominent characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman. وَقَدْ خَصَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي هَذَا السِّيَاقِ ثَلَاثَ كَبَائِرَ بِالذِّكْرَ. And here he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out, yani in this series, in this particular ayat, in these statements, three major sins he has mentioned specifically. Three of the major sins. لأنها أعظم الكبائر وأشدها على الإطلاق. Because these particular sins, these particular crimes are from the most, yani the worst of the sins and the most severe of them, yani without exception. Without exception. على الإطلاق. Yani from the worst, the most evil of all the major sins are these three. And these are not the only major sins, right? Because major sins, yani the scholars have given different definitions or yani guidelines to understand what is a major sin. From amongst them is that the person who commits that sin would become a kafir, would be called, yani be described as a kafir, or that a person would be punished in the hellfire, or that there is a punishment in the sharia in this world for a person committing that sin, and so on. You know, or a person's iman is negated. These are signs of that indicate something to be a major sin. And the major sins are many. There are many. There are seven mubiqat, yani destructive, yani sins that will cause a person to be destroyed, to be ruined. But there are many major sins. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh is saying, Allah mentions, singles out three of the major sins, mentioning them specifically, because they are the worst, yani the most evil of the major sins, and the most severe of them, على الإطلاق, absolutely, unrestrictedly, without any exception. They are the worst of them. وَهِيَ الشِّرْكْ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى Yani that is, associating something, making something as an equal or a partner with Allah the Most High in those things that are His exclusive rights. Making something as an equal to Allah in those things that are His exclusive rights, that nobody has a right to, yani have to have it attributed to them. وَقَتْلُ النَّفْسِ الْمَعْصُومَ And killing the nafs that is ma'asuma, yani the nafs that is inviolable, the nafs that, yani that is protected by the law, that a person has no right to take that life. Yani there are cases in which a person's life can be taken, but there are also lives that are, yani ma'asuma, that they are protected by the law, yani, and it is, yani whoever takes that person's life, they have violated the law of Allah, and this is from the worst of the major sins. Qatlu an nafs, Al-Ma'asuma, yani al-Nafs al-Ladhi Harram Allah, as he mentioned in the ayah. The nafs, the person that Allah has made it haram to take their life. And the third of them is al-Zina. Al-Zina, yani having illegal sexual relations between, yani two people. Having illegal sexual relations. A man, yani having sexual relations with a woman that's not his wife. Or a woman having sexual relations with a man that she is not married to, like this. Here, I just want to make a note before we go into the brief explanation of these three major sins. الشرك بالله وقتل النفس المعصومة والزنا. These three things are from amongst five matters that are known in the Sharia of Islam as الدروريات الخمس. الدروريات الخمس. Yani the five essential, necessary things that must be protected and that the Sharia of Allah protects. Okay? Al-Shatibi, Rahimahullah, the great scholar, he said, making clear what are these five things, he said, فَقَدْ اتَّفَقَتْ الْأُمَّةِ بَسْ بَلْ سَائِرَ الْمِلَلِ Yani that this ummah is in agreement, total agreement, rather all of the Even previous nations were in agreement. على أن الشريعة وضعت لمحافظة على الضروريات الخمس. يعني that the Sharia was put into effect, was placed, يعني was established لمحافظة to protect, to guard and to preserve. يعني الضروريات الخمس. These five things. وهي الدين, the religion, والنفس, the human being's life. والنصل يعني العرض يعني a person's honor يعني meaning their family يعني the sacredness of a person's family والمال يعني wealth والعقل the intellect or the mind يعني these are what are known as الدروريات الخمسة the deen the nafs the human being the عرض the person's honor violating a person's family المال wealth and العقل وعلمها عند الأمة كالضروري الشاطبي said and the knowledge of these things in this ummah are like of necessity that everybody has to know them there's nobody that doesn't know the sacredness of this deen of a person's life of a person's honor of a person's wealth and of a person's intellect. So, yani, in some of the lengthy discussion concerning this, it is mentioned, yani, that some examples of how the deen protects these things, that jihad was established for the purpose of preserving the deen. That al-qisas, retaliation, was established to protect people's lives. That the punishment for zina was established to protect people from violating, yani, somebody's family, yani, committing zina with somebody's family. And that the punishment for stealing was established to protect people's wealth. And the punishment for drinking alcohol was established to protect what? Al-aql. Al-aql. These are just examples of, yani, how the Sharia has made certain laws to protect these five things. The deen, the nafs, the nasl or the ird, the mal and the aql. And we see from these five things, three of them are mentioned here. Yani, the deen is shirk billahi. Yani, violating the deen by associating something as an ilah with Allah. The nafs, yani, qatl al-nafs. The deen, yani, this is a major sin, killing a person that Allah has not allowed. And as zina, yani, is what? In reference to the nasl or the ird. So we see that these three things are from amongst ad-dururiyat al-khams. Yani, these five necessary things that the Sharia was established, yani, for their protection, to guard and protect and preserve these five things. Three of them are mentioned here in this particular ayat. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di mentions, yani, that he mentions these three things in his tafsir, that, yani, ash-shirk billahi is in reference to the deen, the violation of the deen, and qatl al-nafs is in violation of the life, the sacred life of the human being, and az-zina, yani, is in violation of the ird, of the people's honor. After this, the Shaykh mentions briefly each of these three things that are mentioned in this particular ayah, and he says, فَأَمَّا الشِّرْكِ. So as far as the first of them, فَهُوَ مُتَعَلِّقٌ بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. This is connected to the right of Allah over His ibad. Yani, the sin of a shirk is related to Allah's right. That Allah has a right that nothing be worshipped besides Him. That nothing be associated as an equal to Him, or nothing be given the rights that are His exclusive rights. This is related to the right of Allah over His ibad. وَهُوَ الذَّنْبَ يعني الشِّرْك بِاللَّهِ هُوَ الذَّنْبَ الَّذِي لَا يَغْفِرُهُ اللَّهِ لِمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. And this is the sin which Allah will not forgive for whoever dies upon it without repenting. Yani, this is the sin, the only sin that Allah will not forgive if a person dies without repenting from it. Any other sin, if a person committed it and they didn't make tawbah, Allah might forgive them if He wills. But He will not forgive a person who commits shirk if they didn't repent from it before dying. الذنب الذي لا يغفره الله عز وجل لمن مات عليه. يعني لمن مات عليه, we understand from that he means what? Whoever died, yani, without repenting from it. Without repenting from it. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 48th Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. He doesn't forgive that somebody commits shirk, that somebody associates or makes something as an equal, yani, in those things that are his exclusive rights, whether it is in the ibadah, or whether it is in his asma wa sifat, or whether it is in his rububiyyah, yani, in any of the areas of tawheed, whoever makes something as an associate or a partner, as an equal with Allah in those things, Allah, yani, will not forgive the one who does that. Then he says, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. And he will forgive anything less than that. مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ يعني سِوَى ذَلِكَ. Other than that, and everything other than shirk is less than it. And everything other than shirk is less than it. Allah will forgive whatever is other than shirk. لِمَن يَشَاءُ. To whomever or for whomever He wills. Whomever He wills. That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive a person who didn't repent who died without repenting, he may forgive them if he wills. And the scholars of Ahl Sunnah say, this is what is understood as a person on Yawm Al-Qiyamah will be tahta mashiyatillah liman yasha. Yani the mashiyah of Allah is what will dictate that person's condition. If Allah wills, he will punish them justly with what they deserve. And if he wills, he may forgive them. Anything other than shirk. So this is the meaning that is understood here, that Allah will not forgive shirk if a person dies without repenting from it, and he may forgive anything other than shirk to whomever he wills. Some people will forgive, some people will give them their just punishment. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever associates something as an equal with Allah, as a partner with Allah, then this person has indeed committed a tremendous, a terrible, horrible sin. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, Allah, and he has given a beautiful tafsir concerning this ayat, but I think the time might not be sufficient for us to go into it in detail. Let me try to race through a little bit of what he said concerning this. He said in this particular ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that he will not forgive whoever associates anything with him. Associates anything from the created beings with him. Anything in the creation that is associated with Allah will not forgive it. And he will forgive anything less than that of sins. The Shaykh says, وَيَغْفِرُ, this is a point right here I should have underlined to make sure I mention this. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الذَّنُوبِ صَغَائِرَهَا وَكَبَائِرَهَا. That he will forgive sins, whether they are from the lesser sins or the greater sins, whomever he wills. The point here is, that the Shaykh is saying here, which is a significant point, that anything less than shirk, Allah, he may forgive if he wills, whether it's from the minor sins, saghira, or the greater sins, yani the kabira, the lesser sins or the greater sins, Allah may forgive whomever he wills. وَذَلِكَ عِنْدَ مَشِيَتِهِ مَغْفِرَةُ ذَلِكَ إِذَا اقْتَضَتْ حِكْمَتُهُ مَغْفِرَتُهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is subject to his will, he will forgive if he wills, according to what his hikmah necessitates or dictates, he will forgive whomever he wills, based on his wisdom. The point that I want to make here is that the Shaykh is saying whether it is the saghair or the kabair. And there's difference of opinion concerning this particular issue. The majority of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah say that major sins will not be forgiven if a person didn't that a person must repent from them. If a person didn't repent from them, major sins must be repented from. Minor sins, a person, Allah may forgive them if he wills, even if they didn't repent. But major sins must be repented from. And the Shaykh is indicating here, it appears like he's saying that Allah may forgive anything less than shirk, even if it is from the lesser sins or from the greater sins, whomever he wills. And there are many of the scholars from the past as well as from the present who hold the view, that in general, major sins require repentance, except in certain cases like the person who performs Hajj al-Mabrur, that they will come back, كَيَوْمَ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ, in the same condition in which he was in when his mother gave birth to him. And that means what? Absolutely free of sin. Major or minor sins. And this is the opinion of Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah and Shaykh al-Uthameen rahimahullah from the contemporary scholars and al-Qurtubi and others from the earlier scholars who held this view that there are certain deeds that a person does that Allah forgives, may forgive all of their sins without them repenting from it. And one of them is Hajj al-Mabrur. In any case, this is the issue about which there's some difference of opinion. I just wanted to mention that in passing. So also the Shaykh said that the sins which are less than shirk, Allah may forgive them. But due to asbab, there are many reasons that might be the cause of sins being forgiven, like the good deeds which wipe away evil deeds, like the calamities that may befall a person, يعني المصاب المكفرة, that a calamity that befall the person in this world, if they're patient with it, it may be a means of expiation of their sins. Or like the suffering that a person will experience in barzakh, when they're in the grave waiting for the day of resurrection, or yawm al-qiyamah, or what the people experience on yawm al-qiyamah. All of this may be means of expiation of a person's sins. He said, likewise, the dua of the believers, some of them for one another, or the shafa'ah, the intercession of those who Allah will intercede, and then above and beyond all of these, is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah may forgive. the people of Iman at Tawheed. So there are many reasons for which sins might be forgiven. And these are some of them. The greatest of them is the Rahmah of Allah. And then the Shaykh mentioned some other points, but yani for the sake of yani due to the amount of time that we have, inshallah, we go on. Yani this particular ayat that the Shaykh mentions here in reference to ash-shirk is showing us a number of things. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. That Allah doesn't forgive shirk if a person dies on it without repenting. That's one thing. The second thing, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And He will forgive anything less than shirk to whomever He wills. That's the second thing. And shirk is something Allah will not forgive if a person didn't repent from it and they died upon it. Second thing, showing the difference between shirk and other sins. Shirk is the thing Allah will never forgive if a person didn't repent from it. Second thing, that Allah may forgive anything less than that to whomever He wills. That means that there's a difference between shirk and other sins, in that other sins Allah may forgive if He wills. And the third point in this ayah, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. And this is also shows us the magnitude of shirk over all other major sins, that whoever commits shirk, then indeed this person has committed an ithm that is azim. Yani a very, very, very terrible, horrible, evil sin. So this ayah is an ayah that shows us the magnitude of shirk as being the worst of all sins, in that it's the only sin that Allah will not forgive if a person doesn't repent. And in comparison to other sins, Allah may forgive them if He wills. And Allah has described it here as ithman azima. The Shaykh says, فَإِذَا صَرَفَ الْعَبْدُ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. So if the person, the abd, directs anything from what is considered as worship to other than Allah, anything that is considered worship to other than Allah, and then the Shaykh gives some examples, كَالدُّعَى وَالْإِسْتِغَاثَ وَالنَّذْرَ وَالذَّبْحَ وَغَيْرِهَا. Whoever offers anything of worship to other than Allah, whether it is supplication, or it is asking for help when a person is in dire need, or making a vow to other than Allah, or sacrificing an animal to other than Allah, or other than that, فَقَدْ إِرْتَقَبْ أَعْظَمْ الْمُوبِقَاتِ. Then this person who does that, yani who offers anything that is considered worship to other than Allah, this person has committed the worst, the most evil of the grave sins, the mubiqat. Then they have committed the worst of the mubiqat. Wa akbar al jara'im, and the highest, the greatest of all the crimes. Wa huwa ash-shirk billahi. Here I want to just stop and note that the mubiqat are the worst of all major sins. Those things that cause a person to be destroyed, and if a person didn't repent from them. And in the hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah, he attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet said, اجتنبوا السبع المبقات. Avoid, keep distance, far away from the seven mubiqat. And so there are seven destructive, horrible sins that will cause a person to be destroyed. قالوا يا رسول الله وما هن. They said, O Messenger, what are these? سبع مبقات. He said, the first of them, الشرك بالله, making something as a partner equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. السهر, magic. قتل النفس, killing the human being. التي حرم الله إلا بالحق, that Allah has made haram except with the right. وأكل الربا, interest. وأكل مال اليتيم, and taking the wealth of an orphan. والتولي يوم الزهف, and turning away on the battlefield. وكف المحصنات المؤمنات الغافلات, and making a false accusation of illegal sexual relations against the muhsanat, the women who have guarded their chastity, and they are believing women, but they are ghafilat. They might be unmindful at times, so that they engage in some activity or behavior, or were in a place due to their unmindfulness, and as a result of that, somebody sees them in a certain place or doing a certain thing and accuses them of the evil of committing zina. These are the mubiqat, sab' al-mubiqat, and we see that from amongst them is the shirk billahi and qatl al-nafs allati harram Allah illa bilhaq, killing the one that Allah has made haram except with for a right. And we also see here from amongst them that which is related to zina, falsely accusing yani the unmindful, believing chaste women. So yani it is important for us to see the magnitude that of sins there are greater sins and lesser sins, and of the greater sins there are the mubiqat, and the worst of them all of the mubiqat is ash-shirk billahi. And also here I just want to make another note, yani as I mentioned, a reminder to us of the important, very 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 beneficial and critical yani supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he used to supplicate, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. And this hadith has been narrated with slightly different wordings, but here in this wording the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, O Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, I seek refuge in you, an ushrika bika, that I commit an act of shirk with you, wa ana a'lamu, while knowing, while I know that this is shirk, I'm conscious of what I'm doing. Yani I seek refuge in Allah from committing the act of shirk knowingly, consciously doing so. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu, and I seek refuge in you for that which I didn't know, which I don't know. Yani doing something unknowingly. This is a very, very important supplication that a Muslim should yani be constantly supplicating with, seeking refuge in Allah from committing this worst of all sins, knowingly, knowing that it's shirk and doing it. And we also seek Allah's forgiveness for that which we do unknowingly. Now,
is that dua in the book?
No, it's not in the book, I'm sorry. Yeah, when I say I'm making a note, that means it's not in the book. That's just some extra, inshallah. Yeah, and because of the importance of that supplication, if somebody reminds me, inshallah, I'll send it so that in the email, so that yani whoever didn't already learn this supplication, or even if you already know it, yani perhaps you share it with somebody else. The second of these three yani horrible sins, wa amma qatl an-nafs al-ma'suma, as far as the killing of a person that Allah has prohibited, inviolable person that Allah has prohibited their soul being taken, fahuwa jarimatun shani'a, yani that it is a crime, a sin that is shani'a, yani something abominable, repugnant, repulsive, disgusting, atrocious, disgraceful, yani shani'a. It is a very horrible, repulsive, yani disgusting, atrocious sin. يَتَعَلَّكُ حَقُّهَا بِالْقَاتِلِ الَّذِي ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ بِهَذَا الْجُرْمِ. And this, the right, yani حَقُّهَا, the right of the person who is not, who no one is allowed to kill, this right is connected first, yani the right of not violating this is connected first to the qatil, and is connected to the killer himself who has wronged his own self by committing this crime. Yani the first thing is that, yani we know that dhulm is of different types. There's dhulm against Allah, like shirk, and there's dhulm against other people, their wealth or their honor, or their body, harming somebody physically. And then there's dhulm against your own self. Here the Shaykh is saying this is dhulm that a person commits against their own self. الَّذِي ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ, he made dhulm against his own self by committing such a crime. Secondly, وَتَتَعَلَّكُ بِالْمَقْتُولَ الَّذِي أُزْهِقَتْ نَفْسُهُ بِغَيْرِ وَجْهِ حَقٍ. And secondly, this matter is connected to what? The person who was killed, whose soul was taken, whose soul was destroyed without yani a right, unjustly, unfairly. وَتَتَعَلَّكُ بِأَوْلِيَا الْمَقْتُولَ أَيْضًا. And it is also connected to the awliya, the family of the person who was killed. So there are three people affected by this: the one who commits the murder, the one who is murdered, and the family of the murdered. The Shaykh, after mentioning this, that this horrible sin of killing somebody, and it is a horrible sin, even if today, yani we are living in a society, maybe in a world, where people's lives are taken lightly. Yani where people murder other people, maybe for no reason. Not even to steal their property. Not even because that person harmed them in some kind of way. People are killing and murdering people they don't know from anywhere, and for no reason whatsoever. And yet, yani it is of the most horrible of sins, especially we're talking specifically about what? Qatl al-nafs al-ma'asuma. Yani the believer, the Muslim, or the person who has a contractual agreement with the Muslims, who has been given protection by the Muslims, living in the Muslim land, their life also is inviolable. That person cannot be killed except bihaqqin, except by the right that is indicated in the Sharia. The Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Because of the severity, the magnitude of this sin, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ قَتْلِ الْمُؤْمِنِ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا, yani the cessation, or the world, the dunya ceasing to exist, is أَهْوَنُ, yani is yani less important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is less significant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the killing of a believer without a right. Yani that the whole world is destroyed, that the whole world ceases to exist, is more insignificant to Allah than the believer that's killed without a right. Yani the believer that's killed with a right means the person killed somebody and they executed because they killed somebody. Or they killed for yani some reason. They committed, they're a married person who had been married, yani muhsan, and they committed yani zina. This person can be killed by the Sharia, right? The punishment is death. So the person who abandons Islam and separates from the community, as the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, this person can be killed bihaqqin, yani according to the Sharia. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, لا يحل دم العمر المسلم, that the dam of the person who is a Muslim is not lawful. Yani the person who bears witness that there is nothing deserved in worship except Allah, and that he is the messenger of Allah, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person's blood cannot be taken, is not lawful, illa bi-ihda thalathin, except by one of three things. A thayyib, a zani, yani the person who is thayyib, who has been married, and they commit zina, wa nafs bin nafsi, or the person who kills another person, wa tariku lidinihi, or the person who abandons his religion, al mufariku lil jama'ati, and separates from the jama'ah, from the community, person who abandons the deen. These are reasons in which, yani, the person who is a Muslim, whose life is sacred, yani, nafs al-ma'asuma, التي حرم الله إلا بالحق, their life can be taken, yani, according to the haq, yani, the right that is contained in the Sharia. Here the Shaykh mentions this particular hadith, showing us the magnitude of the killing of a believer without a right to do so, that this is worse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the cessation, or the yani going out of existence, coming to an end of the whole dunya. After this, the Shaykh mentions the third of these sins that are mentioned in this ayah. He says, وَأَمَّا الزِّنَا فَهُوَ مِنْ أَشَدِّ الْفَوَاحِشِ الَّتِي تُمْرِدُ الْقَلْبَ وَتُفْسِدُهُ وَتُلْحِقُ بِالْعَبْدِ وَالْمُجْتَمَعَ أَضْرَارًا عَدِيدًا ومتنوئة إيمانية وبدنية ونفسية واجتماعية. That as far as zina, illegal sexual relations, then it is من أشد الفواحش, it is from the most evil of all types of yani immorality, abomination that a person can commit. It is from the most evil of all types of immorality. أشد الفواحش, it causes sickness to the heart, and it corrupts the heart, and it also brings to the person, the individual, as well as the mujtama, the society, adraran adidatan wa mutanawwi'atan. Yani it brings harms to the individual and harms to the whole society. Many harms and different types of harms. Yani related to yani our iman, whether religious or spiritual harms, badaniya, physical harms, nafsiyya, mental or psychological harms, wajtima'iyya, social harms. All types of harms are the result of what? This zina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, yani concerning this yani matter, in the 17th surah, 32nd ayat, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, and don't even go near to zina. And note the language used here, the scholars of tafsir, some of them discuss the language, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala words this. And one of the great benefits is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here didn't say don't commit zina. He said don't go near zina, which is ablag, yani which is more, what? I don't know. Yani more, I don't know, eloquent maybe. yani more effective in making the point. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't commit zina, it's clear, right? But if He said, don't even go near to zina, that's even more serious. Because here Allah is saying, don't even do things that might bring you close to it, to committing zina. And this is very important, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this, don't even go near to zina, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. For indeed, it is a shameful, evil indecency. And it is a way that leads to evil. It is a way that leads to evil, yani that leads to punishment, yani the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As zina, it is from the worst of all types of immorality, and it is that which yani causes the heart to become sick, and sickness can lead to death. It corrupts the heart, and it also brings upon the individual who engages in it, and the rest of the society who they are amongst, all types, different types, many types of evils, spiritual, physical, mental, and social evils. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا زنى الرجل خرج منه الإيمان. Yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that if a person commits zina, then the iman that he has, yani leaves him. Then the iman that he has leaves him. وكان عليه كذلة. And it will be عليه كذلة. It will be above him, and it will leave from him, it will rise from him, and it will be above him like a canopy over his head. فَإِذَا انْقَطَعَ رَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانِ. And if he deceases, yani desist, yani stops committing this act, رَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانِ, then his iman returns to him. This hadith actually requires a lengthy discussion, probably requires one session to discuss in some detail. But yani, let's suffice to say here that this is a very yani strong warning against zina. Because if a person's iman leaves them while they're committing zina, and only returns when they leave that act, the danger is that a person dies in that act, and they die as a kafir. Even the idea that a person is not a mu'min, because the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith that a person is not a mu'min while they're committing zina. Why they're not a mu'min? Because their iman is raised from them. Because these two things cannot coexist. This horrible sin and the iman. So it is removed from them until they desist from that act. So this here also, yani, is a hadith that we have to kind of look at a little bit more, yani, thoroughly, to understand the severity of the matter. What is sufficient though is to know that a person's iman, yani, that they are relieved of their iman while they're committing such an act. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawud, Shaykh al-Albani, Sahihah, and his silsila hadith is Sahihah, said that it's Sahih. These are the three things that the Shaykh mentions. After this, he said, وَقَدْ حَذَّرَ اللَّهُ وَقَدْ حَذَّرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ جَمِيعِ وَسَائِلِ الَّتِي تُقَرِّبُ لِهَذِهِ الْفَاحِشَةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has warned against min jami' wasail, against all of the wasail, every wasila, every means which tuqarribu, which brings a person near to this fahisha, this evil immoral act. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger has warned us against everything that is a wasila, that is a means that will lead a person to this. And as we mentioned a little bit just a minute ago, that Allah said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't even go near it. Yani don't engage in those things that are the means that lead to it. Don't participate in those things. The Shaykh says, yani he summarizes some of those wasail. He says, yani those things that bring one near to it, أَوْ تَكُونُوا سَبَبًا لِوُقُوعِهَا, or those things that are the cause of a person to actually fall in it. And these are two different things. If you pay careful attention to the wording that he said, this or that. That means two different things. One of them is the wasail that brings a person near to this fahisha, and the other one are the causes that make a person actually fall into it. One of them, there are things that bring a person near to it, which they are in the danger zone, and there are other things that cause a person to fall into it. And both of them should be avoided. The Shaykh says, فَجَاءَ النَّهْيُ عَنْ خَلْوَةِ الرَّجُلِ بِالْمَرْأَةِ الْأَجْنَبِيَّةِ. So they came in the Sharia, the prohibition from the, a man being alone, being in privacy, being in seclusion with a woman that is ajnabiyya, that is not his wife or his mother or his sister, or those people who are from the maharam, yani those people who are from the prohibited degrees of marriage. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a prohibition, or He has prohibited us from a man being alone with a woman that is a stranger to him, that is not from his, yani closely related relatives that are from the prohibited degrees of marriage. وَأَنْ إِبْدَاءِ الْمَرْأَةِ شَيْئًا مِنْ زِينَتِهَا إِلَّا لِمَحَارِمَهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also prohibited that the woman display openly or show anything from that which is considered her adornments, except to the maharim, yani those people who are from the prohibited degrees of marriage. وَأَنْ خُرُوجِهَا مِنْ بَيْتِهَا مُعَطِّرَةً لِيَجِدَ الرِّجَالَ رِيحَهَا. And also, the woman has been prohibited from going out of her house مُعَطِّرَةً, yani having used perfume, yani having used some kind of scent that the people, that the men will smell, they will smell that scent coming from her. A woman is prohibited from using any kind of perfume and then going out of her house with that perfume on, such that a man might smell it. Because this is from what? It's from the means of bringing a person near to zina. وَالْأَمْرَ بِغَدٍ الْبَصَرِ لِلْرِجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. And Allah has also commanded that the men and the women lower their gaze. That when people are in public, amongst, yani mixing between men and women in the society, whether in the workplace or in the school or in the marketplace, that men are ordered to lower their gaze, and women are also ordered to lower their gaze. وَغَيْرِ ذَلَكَ مِنْ التَّشْرِيعَاتِ الرَّبَّانِيَّةِ الَّتِي تُحْفَظُ الْمُجْتَمَعَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْكَبِيرَةِ. And other than this, from the things that have been legislated, yani the divine legislations which protect the society from this, yani major sin. وَمَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِخُطُورَتِهَا وَسُوَ مُغَبَّتِهَا. And this, all of these means that have been legislated to protect people from coming near to zina or falling into zina, there's no reason why these legislations have been set up, have been established, except due to the seriousness of the danger, the khutura, the danger of this particular sin and the evil end, the evil consequence or result that it will lead to. In Audat al-Hijab, which is a book written in three volumes by Sheikh Muhammad Ismail, he has yani a section in one of those volumes. I think it is in, maybe I don't remember, it's been like 20 years since I've read it, but maybe it's in the third volume, Al-Adillah. Yani the evidences for the legislation of hijab, of the woman covering herself completely. In that book he mentions like innumerable, yani a full list of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated that came in the Quran or came in the Sunnah for protection of a person from yani zina. Then the Shaykh says,
look at the time.
The Shaykh says after this, وَبَعْدَ أَنْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى اجْتِنَابْ عِبَادِهِ لِهَذِهِ الْكَبَائِرِ الثَّلَاثِ. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that His servants should yani avoid these three yani major sins, أَعْقَبَهَا بِالْوَعِيدِ لِمَنْ قَارَفَ هَذِهِ الذُّنُوبِ بِالْعَذَابِ الشَّدِيدِ الْمُضَاعَفِ فِي جَهَنَّمْ وَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَى أَثَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. Yani after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these three sins and that the ibad of Rahman, that they avoid these sins, then he follows it by a threat, al-wa'id, for the one who yani commits these sins, the threat of a punishment, azab shadid, a severe punishment, al-mudha'af, that will be multiplied in the hellfire. And we seek refuge in Allah from such, in his saying, the meaning of which is, ومن يفعل ذلك, whoever does that, يعني any of these sins, يلقى عثاما, then he will be met with, يعني the consequence, the punishment that is connected to this ithm. The atham is the consequence, يعني the punishment that a person receives for committing the ithm. And it will be يضاعف له العذاب, the عذاب will be multiplied, يعني it will be doubled and multiplied on يوم القيامة, on the day of standing, ويخلد فيها مهانا, and that person will remain in it eternally, يعني in humiliation and degradation. Here, يعني the note that I want to make here is, and I'm not going to really add, except I just want to emphasize the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a threat of punishment, and we know that from the يعني عقيدة وأهل السنة والجماعة, that when Allah threatens a punishment for any sin that a person commits, that Allah, He might punish them justly, or He might forgive them, except for shirk, as we discussed earlier today. And when Allah makes a promise of something, a wa'ad, a promise, then our aqidah is that Allah will always keep His promise. He will never promise that if you do something fulfilling its conditions, except that He will keep His promise. As opposed to the wa'id, if He makes a threat, He may punish you. He may fulfill that threat, or He may forgive you. And this is from the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to distinguish between the wa'ad, the promise of Allah, of reward, and the wa'id, the threat of Allah's punishment. ثُمَّ اسْتَثْنَى, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an exception, يعني from the people who commit these sins, that they will meet the consequence of with a severe punishment that will be multiplied in the hellfire, and they will remain in the hellfire, يعني in humiliation. He makes an exception from this wa'id al-shadeed, and the exception is مَنْ بَادَرَ وَسَارَ إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْكَبَائِرِ, يعني the person who hastens, who hurries, who rush, يعني who, يعني hastens to commit, I mean to, يعني to make repentance from such sins, يعني who promptly, يعني repents from such sins without delay, without hesitation, who rush to repent from these sins. This is an exception. وَأَنَابَ إِلَى رَبِّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, and they turn back in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ, and they return to Him, meaning they return to a state of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيَنَالَ الْأَفْوَ وَالْغُفْرَانِ, so that they will achieve the pardon of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah. مَا الْإِسْتِكْثَارُ مِنَ الْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَ وَالْعَنْوَاءِ الطَّاعَاتِ, along with, يعني their repentance, they're hastening to repentance, to repentance of Allah, that they also have an increase, istikthar, they do a lot of acts, righteous deeds, and different types of acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allati tuqarribu ila ar-Rahman, which bring them near to ar-Rahman. I don't know what this supplication the Shaykh has is here, it's too small for me to see. Azza wa Jalla subhanahu wa ta'ala, naam. Except, yani, this is the exception, that the person hastens to the repentance of Allah, turning back to Allah, so they may achieve His pardon and His forgiveness, along with, in addition to repenting, that they do plenty of good deeds and different types of acts of obedience, which are the means that brings the person near to Ar-Rahman. And this is so that, لِتَرْتَفِعَ دَرَجَتُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, so that their station or their degree with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be raised. Yani in spite of their sin, but their repentance and their doing of good deeds is a means of what? Raising their station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَتَبَدَّلَ سَيِّئَاتُهُ, and so that his sins, his evil deeds, yani will be exchanged for hasanat, for good deeds. That a person repent and they also do good deeds, so that their position, their station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be raised, and so that their evil deeds will be exchanged for good deeds. And here the Shaykh closes with the end of this sequence of ayats, yani the 70th ayat of Surah Al-Furqan 25, the saying of Allah, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا, yani that the exception to this punishment is those who repent, number one. وَآمَنَ, and they believe, number two. وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, and they do righteous deeds. These three things, التوبة والإيمان والعمل الصالح, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا, then these are those who Allah will exchange their sins and replace them with good deeds. And indeed, Allah is غَفُور, He is forgiven, رَحِيم, merciful. Here, we cannot escape. I would refer everyone back to the tafsir of these ayats in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, where he has a lengthy discussion concerning this particular ayat and the meaning of this ayat and the difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning this ayat. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi summarizes that lengthy discussion in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and he just mentions briefly that the exchange of the sins for good deeds, he mentions it as two things, and these are the two opinions that a person's in this world, that they would, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they repented and believed and did good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would exchange their evil behavior and they will begin to do righteous behavior. He will exchange their condition of disobedience and sin or kufr to iman and obedience to Allah and so on. And the other opinion that Ibn Kathir mentions is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah will actually replace the sins that are in their record and he will put good deeds in their place. And he will record for them good deeds in place of their sins. And then he also mentions, or Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, he alludes to a hadith, and Ibn Kathir mentions that hadith that's reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, and we're going to close with this hadith. That which is reported, again I said, by Al-Imam Muslim on the authority of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إني لا أعلم آخر أهل الجنة دخولا الجنة, that I indeed know the last of the people of Jannah who will be last in entering the paradise. The last person who will enter the paradise. وَآخِرَ أَهْلَ النَّارِ خُرُوجًا مِنْهَا, and the last person, from the people of the hellfire who will come out of the hellfire. And who will come out of the hellfire, who will be the last person to get out of the hellfire, and he will be the first and the last person to enter the paradise. رَجُلٌ يُؤْتَ بِهِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, a man who will be brought forth on Yawm al-Qiyamah. فَيُقَالُ اِعْرِضُ عَلَيْهِ صِغَارَ ذُنُوبِهِ وَارْتَفَعُ عَنْهُ كِبَارَهَا, اِعْرِضُ عَلَيْهِ صِغَارَ ذُنُوبِهِ, bring forward, display in front of him his lesser sins. And raise up, remove or erase from him his major sins. فَيَعْرِضُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ صِغَارَ ذُنُوبِهِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will present to him his lesser sins. فَيُقَالُ, and it will be said, عَمِلْتَ يَوْمَ كَذَا وَكَذَا كَذَا وَكَذَا, that in such and such particular day you did such and such particular act. The specifics of what you did and the specific time in which it was done. وَعَمِلْتَ يَوْمَ كَذَا وَكَذَا كذا وكذا, and in such and such day you did such and such and so and so. Some of the scholars said that the first mention of you did this and such day means sins that you committed, and the second time obligatory duties that you abandoned. In any case, the point is that the person will be brought in front of their sins, their minor sins, their lesser sins I should say, and it will be said to them, you have done this particular act on this particular day, and you have done this particular act on this particular day. فَيُقَالُ لَهُ, and this person, فَيَقُولُ, he will respond by saying, نَعَمْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَيُنْكِرَ, and he will say yes, and he will admit that yes, I have done it, and he will not be able to deny it, and he will not be in a position to deny it. وَهُوَ مُشْفِقٌ مِنْ كِبَارِ ذُنُوبِهِ أَنْ تُعْرَضَ عَلَيْهِ, after seeing his lesser sins presented to him with the specifics of exactly what he did and when he did it, and he knowing that he cannot deny it, he will be in fear that now is going to come the major sins, the greater sins, that haven't yet been brought before him, knowing the consequence of those sins are even worse than what has already been presented to him. فَهُوَ يَعْنِي وَهُوَ مُشْفِقٌ يعني his condition, his hal, is that he would be in fear from the major sins, that they would be brought forward in front of him also. فَيُقَالُ لَهُ Then it will be said, while he's in this condition of having seen his lesser sins and now awaiting, yani in fear, the greater sins, it will be said to him, فَإِنَّ لَكَ مَكَانَ كُلِّ سَيِّئَةٍ حَسَنًا That for you, in the place of every sin that has been presented to you, yani in exchange for that you will have a good deed. Yani a good deed will be put for you in place of every one of those sins that you have just been, you have just acknowledged. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَوْ قَدْ عَمِلْتُ أَشْيَاءَ لَا أَرَاهَا هَهُنَا And he will say, oh my Rabb, but I have done other things that I don't see here. Yani now, he wasn't questioned about some sins. He's admitting to them without being asked, in hope of what? That if those were exchanged, maybe these are going to be exchanged for hasana also. So he said, Ya Rabb, قَدْ عَمِلْتُ أَشْيَاءَ I did a lot of things. I don't see them here. And he bring them also and exchange them for hasanat. فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The narrative of the hadith says, I saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم ضحق حتى بدت نواجذه. يعني he saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم smiling, and you could say laughing, smiling or laughing until his molar teeth are showing. يعني this particular hadith is a tremendous hadith actually, which, yani because of the time, we're not going to look at now, but I just want to mention one point, that in some of the explanations of this hadith, one of the things that is brought out concerning this hadith, is that this hadith is a clarification, an open, yani exhibition or display of the greatness of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his ibad. Yani that a man, a person, I say a person, man or woman, may be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and for whatever reason, due to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after having them acknowledge their sins, will exchange those sins for good deeds. Yani in place of every sin that should have been punishable, they will have a good deed due to which they will be rewarded. Some of the scholars said, as Ibn Kathir discusses in detail, that this means in this life, if a person repented, Allah would change them and they would do good deeds in place of the deeds that they used to do. And some of the scholars said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the record of their deeds, yani their evil deeds will be exchanged and good deeds will be put in their place. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di seems to hold the view that both of them are applicable, that people would change in this world and they would also, yani even if yani they changed their life and they started to live in the way that was pleasing to Allah, still we have some sins that may still remain, that will still remain on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to his mercy, his extensive, yani vast mercy, he may exchange those sins and replace them with good deeds for which he will reward his servants in whatever way that he wills. And this is the end of what we wanted to say for this particular chapter or this particular section. And again, like perhaps if anybody has the ability, we're going to try to share with you as soon as we are able to, also the book of Sheikh Salih Suhaimi, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in which this particular fifth characteristic he has divided into several characteristics, and he's expanded on each one of them individually of great benefit as well. If there's any question or any comment or any correction of something that was said, we can take just a moment. Otherwise, we're going to stop here. Naam, Nadir.
The seventh one, I didn't get the last one. You said, Shaykh, that imagine killing, we bad, take it from the world, turn it into the battlefield.
And the last one was Al-Qadf. Yani, that a false accusation is made against the woman who is chaste, who is a believing woman, and who is yani ghafila, who is unmindful, who sometimes might do things unintentionally, unknowingly, unmindfully, and then as a result of them being in a certain position, yani somebody has the opportunity, an evil person has the opportunity to make a false accusation against them. And this is also yani from the worst of the major sins, yani al-mubiqat, that a person makes a false accusation against a chaste woman, who is a believing woman, but who might be, yani, unmindful of her behavior at times.